Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for another day. If you've got your Bible, if you want to, we're going to end up in Daniel chapter 2. And you can either turn there and hold it, or you can wait till we get there. But it'll be probably the latter part of the message. But we're going to start in the book of Revelation. Chapter 11. Last week we ended up in the last verse was verse 17. We started out in verse 14 there in chapter 11, where it says about the woes. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken thee thy great power and hast reigned. And that's where we ended up last week. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come together as your body. We are in a building, but the church is not a building. As we come together, we are the church. And so I thank you, Lord, for the assembly of the church today to study more about you, Lord Jesus. And it's always, always about you. And we're so grateful that you've allowed us this grace, and we pray that you'll be magnified and glorified in all we say and do today. Touch me to get out of the way so I won't be seen or heard, but that you will be seen and you, Lord, will be heard. And I also pray that you'll touch those that hear to also move out of the way so that we all can hear and receive and benefit from what thus saith the Lord unto our hearts this day. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Revelation 11:18, we just will pick up from there. In the last few verses, it was talking about how Jesus had finally brought his own power to bear, and that God was about to take over. This is a book of prophecy. It's sometimes it seems to me to be all over the place. Sometimes it seems to be talking about things happening on the earth, and then we have a scene here recently about the 24 elders in heaven, and they're worshiping again. So it's back and forth, so we have to be careful and watch how it moves. Verse 18, it says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Amen. Amen. The nations are angry because Satan will stir them to anger, but God's wrath will overcome them. It is interesting to me, and I found it interesting, how that in the midst of all of this, the Lord manages to sow good news in with talks of war and anger. He addresses us when he's talking here with the words of reward for his servants. In the midst of talking about the angry nations, he says there in verse 18, thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. And so God continually has us in mind. Paul wrote in Romans 14:10, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Mm-hmm. That is a day that is coming.
Yeah.
In 2 Corinthians 5:10, he wrote again, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers. And so if you think that you're going to sidestep standing before him and being judged for your life, it's not going to happen. We're going to receive for things that we have done, whether they are good or whether they are bad. And he's going to discern this, and he's going to do this by his word. He's going to use his word because he's left us with his word. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is quick and powerful, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of the heart. And so God's word gets down between, and it's sharper than any sword. It slices so thin that it will separate the joints and the marrow. He will separate your soul from your spirit. They fight about whether the man has a spirit or man has a soul. But Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. So I say man has a spirit and a soul and a body. That's what Paul said. And so he's going to come. This word of God will slice so thin in you. He will let you know when you're operating in the spirit and when you're operating in your soul. We're told to walk in the spirit. Sometimes, and a lot of times, you and I will walk in our soul because we get a little emotion. It's the mind and the emotions and the will. That's what identifies the soul. It's your mind. It's your emotions. How you get upset a lot of times. Yeah. And it's your will. It's your choices. And a lot of times, we'll slip over in our soul. And sometimes, people will try to worship God in their souls. You can't worship him in your soul. You might get happy about what he's doing in your spirit. You might yell out because God has done something for you spiritually, but worship of him, Jesus said that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
That means truth means honesty.
Yes, sir.
Truth is straightforward. You can lie to me, but but it's just dumb to lie to yourself. You should never lie to yourself. To thine own self be true. Now just be honest with you and God, and I think things will go a whole lot better for you if you're honest with yourself. See? And so the thoughts and intentions of the heart, that's what the word will do. And guess what? The one that will be doing this is called in John chapter 1 verse 1, the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we're going to stand before the judgment seat of the Word, if you will. We will be standing before the Word of God. And so that very same Word that you have in your hand and you have in your laps, even though it's in a book, and of course the Holy Ghost is the one that quickens that Word and makes it alive in your life, that very same Word is going to be, you're going to be standing before that Word in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now listen, I've been talking about other dimensional. Y'all need to write that down somewhere. Just write the word down, other dimensional, because God is going to eventually move on past that. But our existence is an other dimensional existence. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. The Bible says God has raised you up and caused you to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's a whole nother dimension. It's different than what we know on this earth. Now listen, we have a spirit, a soul, and a body, but we also have an old man that's still very much alive. And sometimes we'll slip over and start walking in that old man. We're walking in the dimensions that we've grown up with, that we're familiar with, that we know about. But when we're walking in the spirit, we're walking other dimensional, different dimensions. You know, that means Christ appeared after his resurrection to the disciples in a room. Door was locked, window closed. He didn't even give a secret knock. He just shows up. It's like, well, how did, what? And he's talking to him. Then he said, touch me. Handle me, has a spirit, flesh, and bone as you see me have. That's y'all other dimensional.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very different than what we know.
Yeah.
On the road to Emmaus, after his resurrection, he was walking with these two men, and they were talking. They were talking together all the way to another town. They didn't even know who he was. He withheld his identity from them. And when they sat down and began to talk, and before they ate, he blessed that meal, and their eyes were open, and they recognized him. It's the Christ, and he vanished from their sight.
Wow.
Y'all, that's other dimensional. But listen, that same Christ, the Bible says we are with him and seated together with him in heavenly places. That's what it says.
Yeah.
And maybe God will give us an other dimensional message. That will be some message if he moves us to get there to talk about other dimensional. But if he does, y'all get ready. Because y'all might have to help me to my truck afterwards. Because that would be one powerful thing. But just remember, we are living in other dimensional when we walk in the Spirit. It's a whole nother level. You should expect things to happen.
Yeah.
I won't worry when things go wrong. Uh-huh. Jesus fills my heart with a song. Yeah. It doesn't help you to worry.
Consider it pure.
Yeah. You just, I've been in some situations where I'm like cool as a cucumber. Mm-hmm. You ain't scared, you ain't worried. I'm concerned, but.
Yeah.
Amen. What am I going to do? I can't change the circumstances in God's hand.
Amen.
He's going to take care of me.
Amen.
He's going to take care of these circumstances.
Amen.
Okay, that don't cost you no more than it costs you to get in. Okay, Revelation 11:19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail.
Uh-huh.
Earthquake, that means that was the earth that quaked. The temple was opened in heaven, but it was the earth that quaked. You see, we're talking about heaven, but it caused an earthquake. So things happen in heaven causes things happening on the earth.
Yeah.
You see, things, boom, something happened.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Great hail.
Yeah.
You ain't no hail in heaven.
Uh-huh.
They ain't worried about hail in heaven, but we worried about it.
Yeah.
That thing will tear your house up, destroy your crops. You know, it will kill you if they're big enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Now, following the heavenly worship service here, we're talking about those 24 elders described here in the previous three verses when the elders declare that Satan will stir the nations against God's people. God will open his heavenly temple. The temple that Moses built is similar to this heavenly temple. Moses had built a temple that was built upon a pattern that God gave him. And the pattern that God gave him was patterned after the temple that does exist in heaven. So the tabernacle that we read about in the Old Testament is patterned after the temple that existed in heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
Most people don't understand the consequences of all of the earthquakes that will take place during the tribulation period. But they will probably exceed the 7.6 tremor that took place in Pakistan in 2005. In that particular earthquake, multiple thousands were killed and millions were left homeless. In a 7.6 Richter, earthquake on a Richter scale, millions were homeless. It was estimated that 1,000 hospitals were destroyed. And this may explain why pestilence will kill so many during the tribulation period, because of the absence of adequate medical assistance. When this destruction takes place, you got a deep cut or deep gash, something fell and cut you across your face, where are you going to find a doctor? It hit the doctors too. It hit the hospitals too. It hit the medical professions too. And so during this tribulation period, it's not only going to be horrible things happening, it's going to be things that we take for granted. Won't be no AC. Do you know that a strong wind cuts the air, the electric off here in Tallahassee? If a wind is strong enough, the light goes off. It was just a wind. It wasn't even a rain. There was nothing. Bloop. You'd be off for 1, 2, and 3 hours on a strong wind.
Ooh.
How about an earthquake?
Ooh.
tear up the electric facilities that produce the electricity. All the wires down, the wires, the negative hit the positive, and there's an explosion, there's a fire take place, there's fire running down the street, running down the electric lines coming around the neighborhood, and you trying to run, get out in the streets. I mean, thank God I don't plan to be here when all this stuff happens. See, they don't explain a lot of this. God is too nice to be at detail with some of the stuff I'm telling you. He just say this is the outline of it, but I can tell you it's going to be quite a place to be during this great tribulation period. This earthly Ark of the Covenant was kept in the Holy of Holies and was a symbol of God's presence on earth. And so when man had this tabernacle, they also had the Ark of the Covenant, and it was kept in the holiest of places in the temple that they had built. But the heavenly temple also has an Ark of the Covenant with a mercy seat, also representing God's mercy for his people. And I can say, thank God for his mercy.
Amen.
Thank God for his mercy. And you should thank God for his mercy. Because he did not reward us according to what we deserve. I did not deserve Jesus. I was the biggest mess in the neighborhood. They didn't know how big a mess I was because I was a sneaky mess. They didn't see me coming. But it was something, see? I didn't deserve this, but thank God for his mercy. And you should thank God for his mercy. He is a merciful God. And I can tell you, some of us are still benefiting from that mercy because we still, sometimes we're a mess. We still sometimes dip around and dip a little thing like that.
Amen.
We still entertain certain little things, little thoughts, little something like that. God does not judge us because of that. He still allows his mercy to remain on us.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you need to understand how wonderfully merciful this God is to you and to me.
Oh yeah.
And I can't judge you. I can't judge you. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if I judge you for sin, I judge myself because all have sinned. So if I point to you and say, you dirty, you sinner, you dirty, all have sinned. So as soon as I do this, I need to be doing this. Most people that judge don't do this. I got it together. Y'all need to look at me and pattern yourself behind me. Yes, sir. I'm the man of God, and I live upright before God. You dirty sinner. And he should be doing this.
Amen.
That's the truth, y'all.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, sir.
But preachers don't tell you that.
Amen.
They don't tell you that. You understand? I don't dip and dab and dip and dab, but I'm right on the edge anyway. It's just a matter of a slight misbalance. You know, just a slight misbalance. Well, praise the Lord. I don't think it's confession time, but anyway, I'm doing the preaching, so I'm hallelujah. We're going to go into chapter 12, verse 1. Now, this part started challenging me a little bit. And there appeared a great wonder, that means a sign, in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That's a garland of 12 stars. You know, the world is caught up in a great spiritual struggle today. And that struggle is between good and evil. It's sometimes called the conflict of the ages. This spiritual struggle is between Satan and God. Jesus thought about it and said that it would intensify and be worse than anything that's ever happened on the earth. This struggle. The struggle is going to culminate here on this earth. That struggle is going to do continual damage. I mean, you can look at it something on TV, but you know, in real life, you've seen two men lock up in a room fighting. They tear that room up, man.
Yeah.
Man, the lamp is broken and the table is laying flat, and the chair, he hit him with the chair and the chair exploded, hit him with the bottle glass, and it tear that room up. Mm-hmm. And this earth, that conflict is going to be like that. And this earth is going to, it's going to take some blows from this particular conflict. It's going to be quite a conflict. The great spiritual struggle, it involves a woman. And this woman would be Israel. And it involves a dragon, and this dragon would be Satan. And a child, which would be Jesus, and the remainder of the woman's offspring, which would be Christians. That would be you and me. Now, this struggle started in Genesis 3:15, as you remember, right at the time of the fall. And Jesus and God made a statement to the serpent in Genesis 3:15, if I can get over there. He said to the serpent, he says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That is a personal pronoun. His heel. That makes it a person that he's talking about.
Yeah.
And so it's between. That's what's going on. Now the symbols in this first sign takes us back to one of Joseph's dream. If you remember, Joseph in the Old Testament, recorded in the Old Testament in Genesis 37, verse 5 through 11, records Joseph's dream. He dreamt that he and his brothers were binding sheaves. They were working in the field, and his sheave rose and stood upright, and all of his brothers' sheaves bowed to his sheave. Well, they didn't like that dream. Again, he dreamt again that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to him. When he told his father Jacob, his response, Jacob's response was, "What is this that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers bow down to you?" Genesis 37:11 says, his brothers hated him, but his father observed that saying. Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel, interpreted the dream like this. The sun represented himself, Jacob. The moon represented his wife, Rachel. The stars represented his children, the 12 tribes of Israel. This family, Jacob and Rachel and their children, they were the beginning of the nation of Israel. And so, Revelation 12:1, the same symbols identified in Joseph's Old Testament dream are associated with this particular woman. The same symbols, the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars, right in Revelation from Genesis. She was clothed with the sun, symbol of Israel. Has the moon under her feet, symbol of Rachel. Has a crown of 12 stars, the symbol of the 12 tribes of Israel. This woman represents the nation of Israel at its beginning. That's what that whole vision represents, the nation of Israel at its beginning. And she being with child, cried and travailed in birth and pained to be delivered. We learn in verse 5, of course, that Israel was pregnant with a male child, that this lady was pregnant with a male child. And her pregnancy is a reference to Israel's condition just before the birth of Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you will remember who were in control at the birth of Jesus, the Romans were in control. Now, Israel was a nation in captivity to the Romans. They were in captivity to the Roman Empire. She had to pay their taxes, Israel, and had to comply with their laws. It wasn't the law of God. They had to comply with the laws of Roman. She was a nation in travail. And it was during this time that the nation of Israel brought forth Christ when Jesus was born. N.W. Hutchings wrote, "In the Old Testament, it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. The town he would be born in what tribe he would come from, how he would grow from a child to manhood, that he would make the blind to see, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, and the lame to walk, how and why he would die, and that he would be raised from the grave. Yet Israel never knew or recognized him as the Christ. They had the Old Testament. They had the writings. They had the prophets. They could read it gave his resemblance, what he looked like, how he would act, where he was born, that it would be born of a virgin, it mentioned. It was a virgin because they thought that Mary had went out and had a fling, you know. But no, it was a child of the Holy Ghost. And so they would keep putting their natural explanations to it. And it told right down. And he healed the sick. He caused the lame to walk. He opened the blind eyes. He raised the dead. He did all those things. And they still confronted him about who he was. They did not recognize him as the Christ. But it was to our benefit. Because the Bible says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Okay. And so because Israel is blind in part, and God allowed that blindness so that we could come in, we are benefiting from Israel's blindness. Amen. And the scripture says one day all Israel shall be saved. Okay. So the Bible says don't be boastful and don't come down on Israel, because of what Israel is right now, you benefit. And you have the Messiah that was sent to them first. And he always went to Israel first.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to the Jews first, then came to the others. And so that's why we should pray for Israel. Today we should keep them in our prayers. We should pray for them because they're coming around. And remember, 144,000 is going to come out of that group. And these boys are going to evangelize like nothing before. 144,000 evangelists, are you serious? Man, I'd like to be watching that over the banisters of heaven and say, man, go, God, go. You know? Hallelujah. Revelation 11:3, and there appeared another sign or wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 horns upon his head. This next wonder, or this next sign in heaven, is an enormous red dragon, which represents Satan. He is enormous because of his great power. He's red because of the multitudes that he has killed. And he's a dragon because of his fierce nature. You know, some folks talk about old Satan, and they call him old Slewfoot. Even Michael did not bring a reeling accusation against him. Another angel had better sense than to come down on him like that. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. But some men think they're going to challenge Satan. Man, you better go sit out. In your own strength, you can't do nothing with him. They got a picture of him in a red suit with horns and a long tail and a pitchfork waiting for somebody to catch somebody bending over, you know. That's the god Pan. That's a god from some mythology that they wrote. He was fooled up. God made him full of the sum of beauty. And he made him the wisest ever. So Satan is beautiful. And he's wise. And you cannot outsmart him in your own strength.
Amen.
Folks will think, I'm going to wait for the ugliest thing to walk in here. Well, that won't be him. He'll walk in and your mouth will drop. What beauty he'll come in with, because he filled up the sum of beauty. I mean, he might be hideously beautiful, but he's still beautiful, and he's wise. I'm not lifting him up. I'm just warning you, don't go challenging Satan. Now. Leave it alone. You have authority over devils. You stay, as my brother would say, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane, operate in the authority that God has given you, walk in the Spirit, and stay close to the Lord. And listen to him very closely. And if he say, get out of there, saturate that place with your absence. That's right. Get out. You know, don't walk, but run. There's a reason God is saying, go. You don't sit around, I'm the righteousness of God, I have authority in the name of Jesus. You know, yeah, you're going to die right in that room. Get out. You ever, I've heard a man say, I'd rather be a live coward than a dead hero.
Amen.
I live again to fight again. Well, hallelujah. I'm talking too much, huh? This dragon here has several heads. It was the strangest thing, which symbols of world government. So it's symbolic he's talking about. 10 horns, symbols of kings, of powerful kings. And 10 crowns, symbols of 7 divisions, controlled by the 10 powerful kings. More simply put, Satan will have 7 world governments,
okay,
10 kings,
right,
and 7 divisions under those kings. The 7 heads of the dragon symbolizes the 7 Gentile world government. The 7 world governments that Satan has or will have since the beginning of creation.
Yes.
7 world governments that he's controlled. Now, Assyria is one, Egypt, Babylon, the Medes and the Persians. Persia is modern day Iran, Greece, Rome, and then it's going to be the Tribulation Confederacy of Nations. Now, I'll tell you a little bit more about that. The 10 horns, and I know this is a lot of things to try to remember, but let's just go with it, okay?
Amen.
As I sat and studied, scratching my head, I got up and walked away. I'm like, okay, I need to go do something. 3 times I got up and walked away from this thing. I said, okay, I need to take a break. My feet swelling or something, you know. Get out of here, you know. The 10 horns are 10 kings that will rule with him during the entire tribulation period. So he's going to marshal 10 very powerful kings during the tribulation period. They're going to be working under him, and he will be pretty much the boss for them. So they're the 10 kings. Now, the Bible teaches that these 10 kings will rise to power and that the Antichrist will come on the scene in a unified Europe. That means that there's going to be a European union, a union of European states. Now, one man told me that he heard, and I think I might have heard George Bush talk about the European market. And I also heard Hillary Clinton mention the European market. And so God couldn't let Hillary win because it was too soon to put this European market together. You wonder, how in the world could Trump beat Hillary Clinton? She was so presidential, you know? She was the politician of politicians. She carried herself like a politician. I was like, man, she's going to mop the floor with him. But that's not what happened, because God is the one that put men in office.
Yeah.
And not men.
Amen.
And you look at Trump and say, my God, what happened? God put that man there. And Trump is doing things that other politicians won't do.
Right.
He says crazy things, and sometimes he does some really off-the-wall things that make you go, my goodness, what's wrong with him? But at the same time, he is implementing some things, and he's putting some things in place. And I tell you why he's doing it, so that it will work along with God's prophetic plan.
Amen.
God put someone Amen. There that will put things in place that will work with what he wants to do.
Amen.
Some of these others are too politically minded. They're too politically correct. They won't say things and they won't do things. They will fudge things just to not offend nobody. Trump said, yeah, I said it.
Okay.
And I'm going to tweet it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't care. And he just, what comes up, comes out.
Yeah.
And he said, my goodness, you know, there's nothing politician, you know, political about him. He should say, I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman. You see, he's a businessman. But he's in a political office. He's the leader of this country. He's the president. You know, you honor the badge, whether you like it or not.
Right.
They're trying to get him. Y'all not going to get him. God, until God is through with him, God put him there. Anyway. They're going to work with this country. The Antichrist will subdue 3 of those kings so that their power will ultimately be concentrated into 7 crowns of the last world government. There's a government that's coming, a final world government that's coming. one world government empowered and controlled by Satan, some say, will make Hitler's Holocaust of World War II look like a Sunday picnic. Y'all remember what Hitler did?
Yeah.
It says Satan in control will make Hitler's stuff look like a Sunday picnic.
Wow. That's true.
Hitler was a devil, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, have mercy. Daniel chapter 2. Y'all, I'm going to try your patience some today, because there's no way to do this without us going through Daniel chapter 2, because it's just, I kind of wanted to not do this, but as I studied, this is only what I do. Daniel chapter 2.
I got six of them.
One to a household, I only got six of those. I'm going to rush through this so that y'all won't fall asleep too quickly on me, but I got to go through Daniel chapter 2, and you'll understand why as I go. If you want to know how Daniel got into this captivity, just read chapter 1. It's not that long, but I'm skipping that part. And one per household, and if you can, or share. Get the ladies. Make sure the ladies over. Yeah, they got one. Okay, Troy. That's okay. I only made six. One there and one down there. That's fine. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to start in chapter 2. And so try not to concentrate on that right now. I want you to turn to the scriptures. We'll come back to that. Just put that down to the side, and let's rush through the scriptures now. Okay, now listen. Now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syria, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show thee the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made dunghills. That's a sewer plant. You know, you'll turn your house to a sewer plant. You know what he's saying. But if you show the dream and interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you to have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream. He's trying to remember. And I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. See, the cover's coming off of these guys. All of a sudden, the cover's coming off. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician, or astrologer, or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and that there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all of the wise men of Babylon. Gonna kill them all. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's his three boys. This is three prayer partners. He went to his partners, y'all. Y'all remember, y'all need to go and find somebody to pray with you sometime. That they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellow should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the time and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matters. You see, Daniel had a praise service after he got his word. So y'all remember to give him praise when he answers your prayers. Because that's the first thing we need to do. He gives us a great pattern. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon, and went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dreams which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. So he gave God the glory when he started talking to the king. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came unto thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living. He said, I'm no smarter than anyone else, in other words. But for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart, thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image was brightness, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image, head, the image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron and clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now that's Jesus he's talking about. This is the dream. He's not through. This is the dream. We will tell the interpretation thereof before King. You notice he said we? Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego. He had his boys with him, his prayer partners. We shall tell you. He says, thou, O King, art a King of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thine hand. and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So he's starting to interpret. Mm-hmm. He's telling him, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. Mm-hmm. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, and shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all things shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. It's talking about potter's clay.
Mm-hmm.
And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken or partly brittle.
Mm.
And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. That means they're not going to really be together.
Right.
And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron and brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof. Now, that was a lot of reading, but he interpreted the king's dream, and he's talking about the future. God gave Nebuchadnezzar a vision or a dream of the future, and it was a total of seven kingdoms. Six kingdoms, basically, that had ruled the world historically, and most folks agree to these six kingdoms. And they would have been Assyria and Egypt and Babylon and the Medes and the Persians and Greece and Rome. But the seventh one is going to be ruled. And if you look at that image there, now this was back in 605 B.C. when Daniel was taken into Babylon captivity, somewhere between that and 536 B.C. So this was a long time ago when this particular vision was given. Mm-hmm. But you look at this image, and of course men have tried to depict what he showed the king. But as you see on this image, it shows that the head of the image was of gold. That was the Babylon kingdom. That's where Daniel was at the time. He was in the Babylon kingdom. And then that kingdom was in control. But of course, that kingdom went out because another kingdom came over, and it was the Medes and the Persian. And that was the silver in that particular image that he saw.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next kingdom was the kingdom of Greece, who came and ruled. And then they ruled for their time, and then came the Roman Empire that came in. But the Roman Empire came in, that was the same time of Christ. When Christ came, the Roman Empire was in power.
Right.
The Roman Empire had the Jews, and the Jews were under the Romans' hands. And so that particular part came in around at the same time. Now, I don't know about five on this thing. I would like to draw an X through that. But the Romans are the legs of this particular thing. And then number seven is the one that is of interest to us, because number seven, I don't believe, has taken place yet. Number seven is the Antichrist's kingdom, and he's going to come in a kingdom, and when the European Union comes together, that's when he's going to rise. The seven heads are seven Gentile world governments, and Revelation 17 talks about world governments, and it lists some of them out. Five were passed. When John was writing this, five of those governments had already passed. They were gone already. Five were passed. And the sixth was in power during John's writing. These are the ones put John on the Isle of Patmos. Rome was in power when John wrote this. And Rome would symbolize the legs of this particular image here. And the seventh is the future kingdom of Antichrist. Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, the Greece, Rome, and the Antichrist will take over the world. He's the one that's going to control these 10 kings. He's the one that's going to control the 7 crowns or 7 regions. He's going to take over. This will be the kingdom with the toes and the iron and the clay. From 600 BC, he's projecting down past where we are now on down to with the day and the time of the Antichrist. And in order to have a good understanding of the book of Revelation, you got to have a good understanding of the book of Daniel. Because you'll find the things mentioned in Daniel, they'll show up in the book of the Revelation. And so he showed King Nebuchadnezzar back in 600 something BC, all the way past our time. Daniel was a smart, blessed prophet of God. I mean, for him to be able to see that and to interpret, and it's more, one called Daniel's 70th week that I dread getting to because it's a mathematical challenge. Daniel's 70th week. It's a mathematical challenge, but I know I won't, I got to go through it, you know. But I've seen it before. But this particular image comes all the way down from 600 and something BC all the way past 2018 AD and whenever the Antichrist shows up. And so this is a picture of world history. And historians all agree that these particular kingdoms have existed. You can check with historians. They all agree that all of these things are in place. And even from that time, this particular thing was shown to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. Of course, he rewarded Daniel for showing him this vision. But I tell you, for something to be prophesied before it happened, like it did, when he prophesied that you are the gold. He said, you're the gold. But then there's coming another one besides you. And sure enough, there was another one. It was the Medes and the Persians. He prophesied that. And then there's coming another one weaker than that. It was Greece. He prophesied that. Then there's coming another one. It's Rome. He prophesied that. He says, oh, and there's coming another. The toes and the clay. Well, that's still to come. Y'all, what are the odds of him being correct on all of the other ones and wrong on this last one?
None.
Antichrist is going to rule. He is going to control the world for a short time. And he's going to be the ruling authority on this earth. But that rock cut out without hand, which is Christ, is going to break his kingdom apart. And then Christ is going to set up his kingdom. And we're going to get to that in the book of Revelation. But all of that back in 600 and Daniel, God showed that to Daniel. And here we are today still talking about it.
Amen.
He's coming. That's why folks need to get saved. Need to get saved. He could come. Christ could come today or tomorrow. I've been told that since 1980. He hadn't come yet, but he still could come. Because everything has been fulfilled that would open up the time for him to come. People need to get saved. You say, well, if I die, then I don't have to worry about the tribulation. But you sure got to worry about the lake of fire. You got to worry about that judgment. And that is another. That's the white throne judgment. And so if you die without Christ, then you're going to have to deal with that. And so you don't get away scot-free because you die. And if I die before the rapture comes, then I'll just wait for the judgment seat of Christ. But if a person dies outside of Christ, they're going to be waiting for the white throne judgment. And it is not a good judgment. It's not a good judgment. So that's why we need to be honest with yourself. Like I say, your hands should be clean, but that still don't stop you from living for Christ as best as you can where you are. It don't stop you. You feed people, Oliver. You say, God bless you.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus loves you. You know, you throw some Jesus on them, man. You throw some Jesus on them. You share the Lord with them. You let them know I belong to Jesus. They say, well, you sure don't act like it sometimes. Well, maybe not.
Come over for that.
But I belong to him, though, you know. And, you know, he's still working on me.
He's still working on me.
Yeah. He's still working on everybody.
Yeah.
You're here because he sent you here.
Oh yeah.
You didn't miss a stumble in the door. No. You got to deliberately come through this. This thing, people, and most people don't even know this thing is here. Right. You know. And so you're here deliberately. You deliberately walked in that door. You are here because God sent you here. And he sent you here to hear what you are hearing.
Right.
And I'm saying, get your house in order. Because you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be judged for the things that were done in your body, good or bad. Some will suffer gain. And some will suffer loss. And it says, even with that, you'll be saved, yet it's by fire. Well, you know, what does that mean? You know, yeah. By fire, I got to go through a wall of fire. I think that somehow we're going to, some fire thing is going to be there. We'll be saved yet by fire. I don't know how. I can kind of guess and say, well, look like you didn't bring much with you, but you can still go in. Oh, praise the Lord. Just go right through that wall of fire. you mean that? Yeah. You said you trust me. Do you? Yeah, I do, Lord. Well, just go right through that fire.
I'm just going to run through this. I ain't going to think about it.
You just never knew. No, and I'm just making that up. But it could be true. I'm trying to make it as bad as I can. Yeah, that's by fire. So there's some fire somewhere because it mentioned there's some fire. Say, yet it's by fire. So I like to say it's a wall of fire there. So you got to go through that wall. Yeah. But if it's a tunnel, then it means you got to run longer, though.
Oh, no.
I'm making it worse for you now.
Yeah,
you
know? No. I'm going to keep running. Oh, no. Not beat me up.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. We'll pick it up here. I hope I didn't try your patience too much, but I hope it was worth the going through this, because to see the circumstances that were in place, how Daniel saved these men's lives, because they were going down. They were going to become a sewer plant or something. He was going to kill them. But he saved all their lives by prophesying world history that we're still benefiting from and know of today. So we'll come back next time, if it be the Lord's will, and pick up here. And hopefully it won't be as complicated, but I'm sure it will, you know. But that's okay. We'll just trust the Lord. And you take those tens and those sevens and go meditate on them and ask the Lord to help reveal to you whatever it is you need to know about it. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your word today. We pray, Lord, that you're pleased with the delivery and our receiving of your truth. Bless all that are here today, Lord. And they're here because you sent them here. They deliberately came through that door. No one drugged them. And so they're here of their own accord because they needed to hear what was said today. So then bless them and stay with them and keep them and continue to draw them closer and closer and closer to your heart, to your side. And we thank you for who you are and who we are in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.